Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. As a player sets up and disperses his playthings according to his own sweet will, so the supreme will of the Lord brings men together and separates them. Purport. We must know for certain that the particular position in which we are now set up is an arrangement of the Supreme Will in terms of our own acts in the past. The Supreme Lord is present as the localized Paramatma in the heart of every living being, as it is said in the Bhagavad Gita 13:23, and therefore He knows everything of our activities in every stage of our lives. He rewards the reactions of our actions by placing us in some particular place. A rich man gets his son born with a silver spoon in his mouth, but a child who came as the rich man's son deserves such a place, and therefore he is placed there by the will of the Lord. And at a particular moment when the child has to be removed from that place, he is also carried by the will of the Supreme, even if the child or the father does not wish to be separated from the happy relation. The same thing happens in the case of a poor man also. Neither rich man nor poor man has any control over such meetings or separations of living beings. The example of a player and his playthings should not be misunderstood. One may argue that since the Lord is bound to award the reactionary result of our own actions, the example of a player cannot be applied. But it is not so. We must always remember that the Lord is the supreme will, and He is not bound by any law. Generally, the law of karma is that one is awarded the result of one's own actions, but in special cases, by the will of the Lord, such resultant actions are changed also. But this change can be effected by the will of the Lord only, and no other. Therefore, the example of the player cited in this verse is quite appropriate, for the supreme will is absolutely free to do whatever he likes, and because he is all perfect, there is no mistake in any of his actions or reactions. These changes of resultant actions are specially rendered by the Lord when a pure devotee is involved. It is assured in the Bhagavad Gita 9:30-31 that the Lord saves a pure devotee who has surrendered unto him without reservation from all sorts of reactions of sins. And there is no doubt about this. There are hundreds of examples of reactions changed by the Lord in the history of the world. If the Lord is able to change the reactions of one's past deeds, then certainly He is not Himself bound by any action or reaction of His own deeds. He is perfect and transcendental to all laws. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakayam Chakshurum militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha nama om vishnu padaya krishna prestaya bhutale shrimate bhakti vedanta swami miti namine namaste saraswate deve gauravani pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, so before I start, I would like to ask the blessings and permission and benedictions of all the assembled Vaishnavas here and online. Please accept my humble obeisances. Vancha kalpa turupyascha kripa sindhu bhyeva cha patitanam pavinebhyo vaishnavbhyo namo namaha. I'm going to read the translation again. As a player sets up and disperses his playthings according to his own sweet will, so the supreme will of the Lord brings men together and separates them. Hare Krishna. So I think it's a wonderful purport by Srila Prabhupada, and so many very interesting points been made. And just to bring clarification and picture to this, this is still Narada Muni speaking to Yudhishthira Maharaj. We know that Yudhishthira Maharaj is a great Vaishnava, a great devotee, and he was very much distressed after the disappearance of Dhritarashtra, Gandhari, and Vidura. So we know that Narada Muni is a great transcendental spaceman, and he comes to glorify the Lord, but also to kind of a distress, to give some clarification into things. So this is the position of Narada Muni, and he, throughout the whole Bhagavatam, he's doing it many, many times. So in the first section of Prabhupada's purport, it's very interesting. Prabhupada speaks about one point. Does anyone get that? Just in one word, is one of the five main topics of the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada very much speaks about one topic, one thing. Can anyone tell me, Leo Prabhu? Karma, exactly. Prabhupada speaks very elaborately about karma, but then he also involves one, he puts something in the equation. So Krishna, he created the material universe with certain laws, and these laws, they cannot be kind of overwritten, they always have to be followed. So today I would like to speak about few points and how Lord, how Krishna's in the life of a devotee very much present, and how Krishna very much overrides these laws just for the sake of a Vaishnava, just for the sake of a devotee. So in the first section, we can see how karma has many different aspects. Whatever you do is what you get. If you please the demigods, you receive benedictions from demigods. You can see in the pastimes of Ravana and Hiranyakashipu, both of them been worshipping Brahma on separately, Brahma and Shiva. Even Brahma, he was bewildered. He had to give a boon, a benediction to this great demon. Why? Because he's obliged to do so. The material's law, they are fixed, they are given by only Krishna can kind of change them. But Krishna, many times through the Bhagavatam, we see he's actually subordinate. He put himself in a subordinate position. To subordinate to who? To a Vaishnava, to a devotee. So even if Krishna is not willing to overwrite your karma, great Vaishnava, because of his blessings, because of his pious activity, he can manifest the overwritten protocol of Krishna. He can ask and request Krishna to change the lives of others based on the piety of a great devotee. So Baladevidya Bhushan comments is one of the commentaries in the 7.14 in the Bhagavad Gita that guna, one of the aspects of guna means a rope. So this rope has three, how do you say, strands. These three strands represent the goodness, passion, and ignorance. So the living entity is very much bound by these three strands, by this rope, by this guna to the material world. And karma and guna going very much together. By your guna, by your manifestation of your character, you attract karma. And by certain karmic activities, you create and associate with the guna. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita is mentioned, Devi hesha gunamai, mama maya duratyaya, mam eva ye prapadyante, mayam etantarantite. So this divine energy of Krishna consists of these three modes of material nature. It's very tough, very difficult to overcome. But by associating with the higher spiritual energy of Krishna, what happens? Your karma is being vanished and being destroyed. So by doing this, by surrendering into the lotus feet of the Lord, this ocean of nescience could be very easily crossed. Very very difficult. But just like in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he said that even the most simplest of tasks could be very difficult to perform if you don't have the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And on the other hand, the most difficult of all activities could be so simple by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So we can see how Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Charitamrita are on the same line. They're having the same conclusion, but they're just manifesting according to different locations. So we can see that Krishna, is actually reciprocating with you according to your own desire. So karma is nothing else, just the reaction of your desire. We can see in the Bhagavad Gita in the verses 262 and 263, what Niskinchana was the other day explaining that based on your desires, based on your contemplation, you create your future. Because first you have just a desire in your head, that desire becomes a contemplation. That contemplation becomes words. Those words, they become an action, and that action becomes a habit in your life. So what we're doing in our devotional practice, we try to create habits which are conducive for spiritual life. And we are creating such habits which are not material, but these habits are purely spiritual habits, which always give us opportunity to remember Krishna. So Krishna reciprocates based on your interactions with Him, based on how do you approach Krishna. So we can see in the spiritual realm, there are five main rasas. These rasas are reactions of the soul wants, how the soul wants to reciprocate with Krishna. So we know that the material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. Therefore, as there's options of reciprocation with Krishna, same thing is in the material world. So it is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, Yeya tamam prapadyante tamstatayva bhajamiham agama payanum mama vatmanu vartante manasya parta sarvasa. So Krishna is saying that all surrender unto me. Everyone is surrendered unto me. Everyone follows different paths accordingly. And in terms of these paths, I reciprocate with them. So it is actually saying that even materialist is following the path of Krishna consciousness, indirectly. Why? Because, let's say in this room, in the temple room, there are certain activities you can perform. You cannot go out of the temple room. You just hear, and you cannot do anything outside of the temple room. Same thing with the material world. So Krishna creates a material world and gives you opportunities to do whatever you want in the material world. But there are certain boundaries created by Krishna. Therefore, directly or indirectly, the soul always has to follow. You cannot do anything more than Krishna gives you. Right? Does it make sense? You have certain playground, and there are certain rules and regulations set up by Krishna, and you have to obey these rules and regulations. Therefore, one way or another, you follow the rules and instructions of Krishna. But it's always our choice. The choice of Jiva is to choose what kind of a regulations and what kind of a nature you can follow. Either the higher material nature, the higher nature, or the lower nature, but you always have to follow. Therefore, what Srimad Bhagavatam and the Acharyas are presenting is that rather than you associating with the material nature, associate with the spiritual realm. It is said, as all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So everything depends on your consciousness and on your way of associating with Krishna. So as I mentioned, one way or another, you always follow. But the soul always hankers, wants to worship, and wants to have the qualities of Bhagavan. Everyone wants to be rich. Everyone wants to be famous, beautiful. Everyone wants to be knowledgeable. Even renunciation in this modern world is very much appreciated to a certain degree. In the times when Mahatma Gandhi was present, what was the great attraction of common men to Mahatma Gandhi is that he was renounced. This peaceful rebellion of renunciation was attractive. People feel natural attraction to it. But as we discussed last time, the moment you separate these aspects of Bhagavan from Krishna, they losing. They're losing the true value. The moment you connect that fame, that beauty, that knowledge, that wealth to Krishna, Prabhupada mentioned many times that all of our characters or our activities are like zeros. Just zero after zero after zero after zero. But just for once, add one in front of all of them, and what you have a big number. So whatever we have in our possession, subtle or gross, when you connect it to Krishna, becomes a true something worth of value. Also In the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam is mentioned how the soul goes up and down like a roller coaster in this material world. One day you're in the body of an animal, one day, next day you're in the body of a great asura, enjoying so many material kind of sense enjoyment. Next day you're in the body of a demigod. Next day you can be an Indragupta, you can be a germ. Next day you can be a great king. But all these activities are just a roller coaster. Once you're up, another day you're down. But ultimately, the one who's titikshava, who's tolerant, who tolerates this up and downs, that's a quality of a Vaishnava. So there's one verse again from the Bhagavad Gita. Mantrasparstastu konte asitasna sukadukada. So all these things are constantly be changing. All material influence is constantly changing. Once there is summer, there is winter, sukha dukkha, there is always something positive, something negative. But a true devotee develops quality of titikshava, of qualities of tolerance. So Baladev Vidyabhushan gives a commentary saying that what gives you pleasure in summer, like having a bath in the cold, cold water, in winter is a great austerity. So, but all these qualities are coming from sense perception. Matra refers to senses, and sparsha reflects to seeing or having the perception. So sparsha depends on the individual soul. Every jiva, based on their different karma, different guna, has a different sparsha, different vision. So this vision always is different. So we can say the material universe or the universe of manifestation is based on your perception. How do you perceive things? Right? So what is a poison for one person could be a nectar for another. Prabhupada said that, you know, hogs, they're feasting on excrements. For them is a feast. For us is obviously something which is very repulsive. Therefore, everything depends on how do you associate with the three gunas and what kind of a karma have you developed. Therefore, one should tolerate and accept appearance or disappearance. And if you apply this specific verse from the Bhagavad Gita 2.14 into the situation of Yudhishthira Maharaj, the appearance of disappearance of his relatives, the appearance of disappearance of Dhritarashtra, Gandhari and Vidura was which brought us to this specific point in the Srimad Bhagavatam, to this section. Yudhishthira Maharaj, a great Vaishnava, was very much disturbed by the appearance and disappearance of his relatives. But then by mercy of Narada Muni, what happens is that it become clarified that people are coming together and people are leaving as well. So, and then in the analogy which Narada Muni is showing, that Krishna is like a player. So how can we understand this? Because Prabhupada was mentioning that Krishna has his agents. These 33 lakhs of demigods are basically agents of your material karma. Whatever you do, they are bound to give you. So how can Krishna is a player in this specific situation? Prabhupada said that in specific situations, in very important times, Krishna interacts with you, but you have to be ready for that interaction, and you have to be open for that interaction, and you have to be asking for that interaction. If Krishna is not interacting with you, seemingly, then there is a problem. There is a difficulty in most likely our sadhana. So the true goal of a devotee is to develop that interaction and direct perception how Krishna is actually involved in our life. The next point which I would like to make is that about Yudhishthira Maharaj. How Yudhishthira Maharaj, what is his varna? What is the varna of Yudhishthira? Grihastha? Kshatriya, right? So can anyone tell me what are the qualifications or qualities of a kshatriya? How is a kshatriya? How can you see that this person is a brahmana and this person is a kshatriya? Fearless. They follow rules and regulations. They're very strong in their dharma activities. Yes, Guru Prabhu. Superior heroism. He's very, very heroic. When he's challenged, he always says yes. When there's a difficulty, he's the first person in the battle, last one to go. Passionate, yes, a lot of passion, a lot of activity is being performed by the Kshatriyas. Determination. It is said that you're not a Kshatriya if your wounds are in the back. Because it indicates that you're fleeing from the fight. Your wounds should be always in the front of your body. Why? That means you've been facing your problems, you've been facing the challenges and the fights. Any other qualities? Protective, yes. A Kshatriya understands what is his duty. He has the duty of protecting those which are not so strong as him. But look through the whole pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. What is the character of Yudhishthira Maharaj? He's Dharmaraj. He's truthful. He's very humble. He's very sensitive. He's very affectionate. He feels remorse when, after the battle of Kurukshetra, so many people had died. He felt that, have I truly done my duty? So more than anything, the character of Yudhishthira Maharaj is a character of a Vaishnava. Is a character with a trace of Brahmanical traits. Yes, he is a Kshatriya. Yes, he is a king. Yes, he's a Raja, Raja Rishi. But more than anything, his qualities of a Vaishnava are stepping forward. If you compare him to Bhima, what are the qualities of Bhima? Bhima is that masculine personality, strength of 10,000s of elephants. Rather first action, then sometimes think about the consequences. He was mocking Dhritarashtra. Even Vidura in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam is saying that, look at yourself, Dhritarashtra. You are accepting the remnants of the person who killed all of your sons. But the qualities of Yudhishthira Maharaj is, I have offended Dhritarashtra, I have offended Gandhari, and I have offended everyone. That's why what they left. So you can see, even in our varna, we can be something, but our internal meditation is a meditation of a Vaishnava. I'm not saying this way that Bhishma was not a Vaishnava, but his tray, his meditations, his predominant aspect was the aspect of a Kshatriya, of a fighter, very ferocious. He was very well known for his passion for food, for prasadam, right? So we can see that we can still maintain our duties, rules and regulations, but our internal meditation is a meditation of a Vaishnava, meditation of a devotee. So one of the things which are coming out in this specific purport is how Yudhishthir was very much affectionate. His affection was even beyond the reasoning or emotional standard of a person in such a situation. Put yourself for a second in the situation of Yudhishthira Maharaj. Here is a person who's been bullying you, who was threatening you, who wants to dethrone you, who wants to murder your brothers, murder your mother. Here is a person who was completely and fully dedicated to seeing his sons on the throne of Hastinapur. This is position of Yudhishthir towards Dhritarashtra. But we can see that Yudhishthir Maharaj is saying, what this happened? Why this is happening? Why my uncles and my aunt left the house? I have done something which is very, very wrong. So this affectionate mood, Prabhupada explains in the eighth chapter or the first canto. Do you know which chapter is this? Very famous one. Prabhupada refers to it as so often. Prayers of Queen Kunti. Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda ki. Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki. Shri Shri Gornitai ki. So Prabhupada is saying how affection could be also utilized. Quoting, perfection of pure devotional service is attained when all attention is diverted towards the transcendental loving service of the Lord. To cut off the tie of all other affections does not mean complete negation of the finer elements. Like affection for someone else, it is not possible. A living being, whoever he may be, must have these feelings of affection for others because this is symptoms of life. So Prabhupada is saying that symptoms of life means to be means to have affection for others. In our hearts, we have, in our chest, there are pumping hearts, not pumping stones. So affection has to be there. But this affection has to be purified by the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Queen Kunti was praying, she was praying, please kindly allow me to see beyond the boundaries of mundane vision. Allow me to see beyond the mundane boundaries of family affections. Let me see that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this case, she was dovetailing her affection towards the Lord. Once there was a devotee, a mother, asked Prabhupada and asked a very interesting question. She said, Prabhupada, does me being a mother makes me love Krishna more? You know what Prabhupada answered? By you loving Krishna, you will become more affectionate mother. So when you love the whole, when you love the Ishvara, when you love the person who owns everything, you love everything else as well. So devotee is a paradukaduki, not based on his mental concoction or based on his character. He's a paradukaduki because Krishna is in the center. And because he's paradukaduki, he sees that all the other entities are missing the association of Krishna. That's his qualification of a devotee. So a devotee is never separated from the love of Krishna. And in this case, that's the strength of a devotee. The strength of a devotee is not his own personal character, but his connection, his yoga with Krishna. So when you look at great Vaishnavas and you can see how compassionate, affectionate they are, how much love, dedication and devotion they have, this is not based on their own merit, it's based on their connection with Krishna. So this is the point. Ishvara sarabhutanam hridayeshe arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarabhutani yantra rudhani mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in the heart of every living entities and is direct wanderings of all the living entities who are seated in the body. Body represents yantra. This body is a machine. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, his direct affection was towards yantra rudhani. His affection was towards the machine. His affection was based on the body. His affection was based on the family. His affection was based on the gotra. His affection was based on the family relationships. But if our duty as a devotee is to change that affection towards Ishvara, sarvabhutanam, not the yantra rudhani, but the Ishvara. Because when you show your affection towards Ishvara, show your love towards Ishvara, naturally, everything else is encompassed. Prabhupada gives this wonderful analogy that if you have 100 pounds, all your 2 pounds problems, solved, done. You can buy all the 1 pound candies you want. You can do whatever you want if you're in that spectrum of 1 pound. You can do that by having 100 pounds. So by having the mercy of a devotee and Krishna, all your 1 pound problems, solved, done, simple, mitigated. But the focus has to be on the Ishvara, not on the yantra. If the focus is on the body, you're inviting difficulties. So Baladev Vidyabhushan is commenting that the steadiness in the face of distress is very important. Mata smriti jnanam upohanam cha. Krishna is saying from him comes smriti, remembrance, jnana, knowledge. So only this can come when you're associating with Antaryami. Antaryami is one of the aspects or names of Krishna, the one who gives you the opportunity to remember him, the one who gives the knowledge, the one who gives the smriti, the remembrance. That's Antaryami, one of the names of Krishna. So in the last aspect of the purport of Srila Prabhupada, he speaks something very, very powerful. He says that Krishna changes the circumstances of devotees himself. Krishna changes your circumstances. He rewrites your karma. The more and more you put yourself under influence of the apara, right? Apara prakriti, that's the, or is it para? Is it para is higher and apara is lower, or other way around? Please correct me. Apara is lower. Okay, so if you put yourself in a position where you forced to be under the superintendence of para prakriti, that's your win-win situation. So, and now I would like to ask you one very interesting question. Name a few devotees which Krishna changed their karma. How Krishna engaged himself in changing your circumstances. From the Bhagavatam. Yes, Sankirtan Prabhu?
Of his guru?
Son of his guru.
Was it son of his guru? It was son of Krishna's Sandipani Muni's, when he actually went to actually get him from...
Very nice analogy.
From...
as a Dakshina.
Yamaraj, yes.
It was a Dakshina, right? Okay, very nice. Amit Krishna.
A Brahmana who had a son called Narayan, and then Ajamila.
Ajamila.
Yes.
Okay, that's how Krishna kind of changed the karmic kind of a situation of Ajamila, yes? Srinivas Prabhu?
Draupadi.
Would you like to elaborate on that? Shortly?
Well, she offended the Manta Purushottam in her previous life. She was a son of a sage. Well, she was a daughter of a sage. When the father passed away, then Duvarsha Muni came and tried to, because she was crying, he tried to pacify her. And then he said, I'm here to help you. And but then she started offending the Manta Purushottam. Because in previous times, the Manta Purushottam was not respected so much. But then the Manta Purushottam went to Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu took it to Goloka. And Krishna pacified the Manta and said, I'll consider you as good as me. So anyone who offends you will offend me. So Draupadi, she started offending the Manta, and then Duvarsha Muni said, I'll give you the blessing, but you'll have to suffer the consequences because you're offering the Manta Purushottam. So when she got disrobed by Dushasan, that was a reaction for that. But because she took shelter of the personification of the Manta, who is Krishna himself, and Krishna saved her. He changed her destiny.
Thank you very much. Yes. Ian Munena Kanini Prabhu.
I was thinking Prahlad Maharaj as well. You know, being born in a demoniac family, and you know, having to go through all like being killed, you know, the attempts of being killed just because of his lack of submission to his father, Krishna kind of manipulated
Thank
that.
Thank you. Maybe one more, and then we'll continue and wrap it up. Jai Krishna Prabhu.
Classical example is Putana. Putana went to try and. Poison baby Krishna, but even though she was a demon, Krishna changed the status, same as Mother Yashoda.
Yes, very nice. Wonderful examples, thank you so much. Anyone from the lady side would like to mention any point? Can they have my...
Hare Krishna. I couldn't think of anyone from the Bhagavatam, but I was just thinking how even within our movement, there's so many amazing devotees who, according to their astrology, maybe should have left their body by now and things like this, but because they're engaged in the service of the Lord or the mission of Lord Chaitanya, they seem to be living a lot longer and then... astrologically they're meant to.
So we can see how Krishna is directly influencing our life. And there are two very specific verses which I will mention. So point number one, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. But you need to see this in the perspective of transcendental things. Carry what they lack and preserve what they have. This is that thing which gives you opportunity to come closer to Krishna. But then, In 10.11, Krishna says, I dwelling in their hearts destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness board of ignorance. So these are the three aspects Krishna is directly influencing a devotee. Carry what he lacks, preserve what they have, and destroy the ignorance. So these are very three important aspects to see how Krishna is within our lives. So he maintains, that's the positive thing. He takes care of that spiritual bhakti lata. He takes care of that. He's nourishing it by association with devotees, by scriptural reference, by, you know, reading books, by giving us opportunity. But also he destroys that ignorance which is born of associating with the modes of material nature. So does it make sense? So if your life is going complete rampage, if you feel there is some destruction in your life, think about this verse, 10.11. Desham eva nukampartam aham agyana jantama nashyami atma bhavasto jnana dipena bhashvata. I show them special mercy, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with shining lamp of knowledge the darkness, board of ignorance. So don't be afraid. If the darkness being destroyed, that means the light will be more and more present in your life. So I'll end up on one last point. Tomorrow's appearance, or tomorrow is the Leela was manifesting of Nrisingadev. I'm not going to speak more about that. I'll leave it to Bhakti Rasan Sagar Swami. Yes, Prahlad Maharaj is a great kind of a character to see how Krishna directly interfered based on the mercy of Narada Muni, who recited the Bhagavatam in the womb while Narada Muni was present then. Based on this mercy, a great devotee requested this kind of a fearless form of Krishna, Ugra. But interesting enough, the demons are afraid of Nrisingadev, but devotees, they are pacified by his association. So now there was an appearance day to day of one great Vaishnava, who was a great tool of Acharya Srila Prabhupada. And when we say that he was a great tool, it is meant in the best way possible, because to be an instrument in the service of devotees is the greatest thing to do. And we can see how him associating with the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, he done great things, he achieved great things. So I would open it now, maybe Jai Krishna Prabhu, Gudruma Prabhus, they can share maybe one or two pastimes, if possible.
So Jayananda Prabhu, he's kind of considered the first modern saint in ISKCON. He was the first temple president in the West Coast when they opened the second temple in San Francisco. And Prabhupada was always very, very dear to Jayananda. And Jayananda had some amazing qualities. One, he was 100% dedicated to his spiritual master. Second, the devotees, they also noticed that when he chanted his japa, after Tosi Puja, till deity greetings, he would just sit in the one place and he would just chant his rounds. And even though he was a temple president, he had so many duties, devotees would come in and then they got to know that not to disturb him. This was his moment with Krishna. And even though he held a full-time job, even though he was a temple president, he used to also go personally himself and collect bhoga for all the devotees. And it's explained that he was so loved by the Kamis that even the ruffians, the redneck, they used to like him. He had such an amazing, glowing character that even the diehard haters, they just loved him and they would give him loads and loads of bhoga. And he is primarily known as the devotee who took Rath Yatra to the next level. Most of you might have noticed when you go to Rath Yatra, Srila Prabhupada instructed to put his picture on the Rath cart. So everywhere you'll see his wonderful picture. And then Prabhupada, he wrote a letter to the Los Angeles committee that where he passed away, that this amazing devotee went back home, back to Godhead.
Jai.
So in reflection, sometimes we think, how is it possible to go back home, back to Godhead? It's such a tall order, it's so difficult. We talk about all these great personalities. But actually we see this person, he was transformed from his previous conditioning, like you're talking about, like Mataji was saying. And from there, he went back to Godhead within 7 years. 7 years.
It's powerful.
He went back to Godhead. So we can learn from his wonderful example that it is possible that in this lifetime, he did it in seven. We got a little bit of time. We should try and learn from him. And he was so transcendental. I mean, I don't recommend this. He was so transcendental once he was building the Rath cart. And he was, you know, every time there's always a deadline with ISKCON projects, isn't it? Oh, never enough time, isn't it? So he had these three carts he had to kind of build. And he was pushing the bhaktis, he was pushing the hippies. And this hippie was saying, hey man, where's the food? We're not getting any food over here, you know? So then he says, well, just have some Jagannath Prasadam. And he says, well, there's no Jagannath Prasadam. And he took some axle grease. He lifted up, this is Jagannath Prasadam, and he ate that.
No.
And then they said, oh, okay, we'll just carry on working. That's pretty transcendental. Yeah, don't try that,
not
please.
Not recommended that at home.
Jayananda Prabhu ki.
Could
you, Prabhu? A few other interesting things about Jayananda Prabhu. When he first came to the temple, he was actually a taxi driver. You know? So at that time, there wasn't, you know, much money coming into the temple, and it was quite tight. So Jayananda, he was working day and night, driving his taxi and making all the money and giving it all to Prabhupada. And then sometimes he would preach to people in the taxi and bring them to the temple. And then he would sometimes stop by at the temple and say, oh, can I have a bunch of more Bhakti Godhead magazines, because, you know, I've been selling them to all the customers in the taxi. And so he was just completely absorbed in giving Krishna consciousness and trying to please Srila Prabhupada. And he wasn't worried about how much sleep he had or when he was going to get prasadam, or he was completely like aloof in that sense. And later on he got very ill. I think he got leukemia. Yeah, so it's a form of cancer, a blood cancer, you know. So he was very, very ill, and then his family gave him quite a bit of money so that he could actually undergo medical treatment. So he kept all that money and he gave it for spreading Krishna consciousness. So anyway, he was very dedicated and just amazing devotee. So, Jayananda Prabhu ki.
Jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Any questions, points? And it's getting quite late, so.
Sorry, no, mine wasn't a question. It was just also based on Jayananda Prabhu, because I received the letter that Prabhupada had written to Jayananda Prabhu. So I just thought I would read it out, if that's okay. So, my dear Jayananda, please accept my blessings. I'm feeling very intensely your separation. In 1967, you joined me in San Francisco. You were driving my car and chanting Hare Krishna. You were the first man to give me some contribution of $5,000 for printing my Bhagavad Gita. After that, you have rendered very favorable service to Krishna in different ways. I so hope at the time of your death, you were remembering Krishna, and as such, you have been promoted to the eternal association of Krishna. If not, if you had any tinge of material desire, you have gone to the celestial kingdom to live with the demigods for many thousands of years and enjoy the most opulent life of material existence. And from there, you can promote yourself to the spiritual world. So it was like a win-win anyway. But even if one fails to promote himself to the spiritual world, at that time he comes down again on the surface of this globe and takes birth in a big family like a yogi's or a Brahman's or an aristocratic family, where there's again chance of reviving Krishna consciousness. But as you were hearing Krishna Kirtan, I am certainly sure that you were directly promoted to Krishna Loka. janma karma cha me divyam evam yodveti tatvataha jaktva deham punar janma naitiman eti so arjuna. Krishna has done a great favor for you not to continue your diseased body and has given you a suitable place for your service. Thank you very much. Your ever well wisher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. His Grace Jayananda Prabhu ki.
Hare Krishna. That's what it means to have the mercy and blessings of Guru. That's what we strive for. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna.